Sidka. Written by Vestigial Stell. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Hockey RPF. Rating, teen. Relationship, Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin. Also tagged for supermodel Sidney Crosby. Fake pretend relationship. Friends to lovers. Eating disorders. Fluff. Always a woman, Sidney Crosby. Hurt comfort. Alternate universe, always a different sex. And alternate universe, fashion and models. Sydney's feet ache. She groans and flexes her toes, feeling sparks of pain from her blisters and a deep pain in her heels. Her soft cotton sheets feel so rough that she has to carefully lift them up and slide her feet off the edge of the bed. She's never going to work with that designer again, no matter how much of a hotshot the company thinks he is. Sydney has worn plenty of shoes in the wrong size, shoes that twist her toes, and shoes with such poor stability, it's difficult to stand up, let alone walk down a runway in. None of those shoes made her feet hurt as much as these had. The designer had been insistent that Sydney wear shoes his cousin had made, regardless of the fact that they were shit shoes and didn't match the collection. The runway alone had been bad enough, but then there was the reception afterwards. That had gone late. She had managed to get all the other girls home on time, but only by promising to stay late herself. She didn't trust this designer around the younger girls, who were still too insecure in their profession to say no when they wanted to. Sydney's phone rings, a familiar tune of Rihanna's Fresh Out the Runway coming from somewhere in her sheets. She groans and digs around for it, answering the call more to make the noise stop than to talk to the caller. "Alex, when did you even get your hands on my phone to change my ringtone?" Sid says in lieu of hello. "It's an embarrassment." "Sidka, it's your theme song," Alex says, far too cheerful for so early. Alex had had a game last night, so he was probably even more sore than she was. "And Rihanna's the best. Don't complain." Rihanna was a huge improvement, considering that for half a year her ringtone for Alex had been Lady Gaga. Alex had been delighted by the meat dress, and then their schedules hadn't lined up for 6 months. After that, Alex had made sure his song selections were always songs Sydney didn't hate, just in case they didn't see each other for a while. Sydney could just ask Siri how to change ringtones, but it was a thing now, and it was an endearing reminder of her best friend. Even when her phone went off at a photo shoot and she had to explain that she wasn't obsessed with herself, and that her best friend was an embarrassing asshole trying to show his support of her career in the strangest ways. Sydney rolls over and looks at the clock. "Jesus, Alex, it's 6 a.m. here. How early are you up?" "It's 3 a.m. here," Alex says, disgustingly awake. "I haven't gone to sleep yet. We are boarding our flight to San Jose for the game tonight." Sydney can vaguely hear people shouting in the background, and the deep bass of a familiar song. Did you request that they play Rihanna on the plane speakers? In honor of my favorite lady, Alex says. Sydney rolls her eyes. I need a favor. Sydney sits up, carefully swinging her feet down to the floor. She has some cream in her bag that should help her bruises, but it's in the bathroom, with the rest of her toiletry bag. The hotel carpet is rough on her poor feet, and Sid takes a sharp breath in before standing up. Motherfucker, she hisses, nearly toppling back onto the bed. How rude, Alex says. Not you, Sid says, waddling to the bathroom as best she can. Your mother doesn't deserve that. I can't believe you like my mother more than me. Sid gets to the bathroom. The cold tiles are blissfully numbing. She hops up onto the counter and digs through her bag for the small jar of cream, unscrewing the cap to find it's nearly empty. There's enough for now, though. She folds one leg up and carefully starts applying the cream to her bruises and blisters. Do you still have that trainer around with that great cream for bruises? Sid asks. She squints at the label, but it's all in Russian and she doesn't understand any of it. I'll get some more, Sid says. His voice is gentler, more serious now. Are you hurt, Sidka? My feet are a bit battered after the last runway. Alex makes a low, concerned sound. Please, you get worse than this on the ice every day. I'm a hockey player, though. No one cares if I'm all bruised up. Sidka is a work of art, needs to be treated right. Sydney smiles fondly. I can take a hit as well as you can, but I'll trade you that favor for another jar of cream. Deal, Alex says, though it's a bigger favor than that. Have the jar shipped straight to me in San Francisco and we'll consider it even, Sid says. The cream has taken the edge off the pain in her feet, and she leans back against the mirror with a happy sigh. I'll do better than that, Alex says. I'll deliver it in person tonight. You're coming to San Francisco? Sydney's day is suddenly looking up. The game should be done, with enough time to drive over. I have tickets to your show. I'll see you afterwards. I'll get you backstage, Sydney promises. Please wear something normal this time. Normal is boring, Alex says cheerfully. I need to wear something amazing if I'm going to be in photos next to you. Please don't. I'm begging you. Too late. I'm already packed. See you in 15 hours, Sidka. Sydney realizes she never asked Alex what the favor was and texts him in the middle of getting her makeup done for the show. The nice thing about being this level of famous is that her makeup no longer matches perfectly with the rest of the models, getting her out of some of the more stupid looks. The designers capitalize more on having her in their runway when she's recognizable. In this case, that means that her eyes are smoky, her lips blood red, and her hair tied back in a simple ponytail. They also put makeup on her feet to hide the bruises peeking out between the straps of her heels. She gets a text back as she's standing in her heels and panties and nothing else, waiting for the designer to finish some last-minute adjustments on her gown. Sydney used to be uncomfortable with standing around naked, but now she just thinks about it like being in a locker room. It helps that she ranks high enough in the industry to have her objections heard when she has issues with designers or backstage crew. She has a strict policy of professionals only around her when she's backstage. Alex.
Just landed. Need fake girlfriend. See you soon, Sidka.
Sydney stares at her phone, locks it, unlocks it, and reads the message again. Fuck her life. She nearly inhales a mouthful of fabric, barely managing to toss her phone to safety as the designer hurries her into the dress. Sid tries to make herself as small as possible until the dress is settled around her. The designer slides the zipper up. The dress shifts around her, fitting better and better until the zipper is hidden under a drape of fabric low on her back. The dress is long and sleek and fitted from Sydney's knees to her lower back and flowing loose around her top and ankles, the neckline high in the front and a deep V in the back. She feels good in it, and the designer agrees, if the way she whispers, "C'est magnifique," is any indication. Sid glances over to find the designer staring at her ass, which really does look amazing in the mirror. With the designer's approval, Sid checks her phone one last time and finds that Alec has sent another message. It's a photo this time of Alex looking jet-lagged but cheerful and wearing a hideous paisley tie and matching pocket square. Sydney.
Change your tie.
Alex texts back immediately. Alex.
Too late. Smiley, 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 smiley.
Sydney locks her phone and tucks it in with the rest of her street clothes before going to stand in line for the runway and hoping Alex is just teasing her. He isn't. Sydney really wishes she wasn't too professional to flip him off on the runway. The lights are almost blinding as she steps from the dark backstage onto the runway. Her eyes adjust quickly enough that as she walks, she can see Alex sitting in the front row to the side of the runway, hideous tie and pocket square still in place. He smiles widely when he sees her, his missing tooth oddly endearing. Sydney ignores the pain in her feet and walks, feeling the eyes of the whole room go to her. The other models on the runway disappearing from their minds with her presence. She passes Alex, poses at the end of the runway, and walks back. He winks at her, as ridiculous as always, and she hides the smile tugging at her lips until she's safely off stage. She gets in the back of the line again, all the models walking out clapping with Sydney on the designer's arm. She can smile freely now, and Alex gives her a little wave and a thumbs up. Alex gets backstage without Sydney coming to get him. There are whispers circulating about them already. Their worlds don't really collide, but when people see a man as big as Alex, they generally realize he's an athlete of some sort. And when he smiles, they realize it's hockey. That damn tooth. Sydney loves his missing tooth, but she'll never admit it. It's terrible. But it's so Alex, and it's a little sign of her impact on his life. A sign that she's had as much impact on him as he has had on her. Sidka! Alex calls and swoops in on her. Watch the dress, Sydney yelps, and they avoid calamity by a few inches. Alex redirecting to come in for a kiss instead of a hug, and Sydney dodging to the side. Alex kisses her loudly on the cheek. You were the second best looking person in the room, Alex says. After me, of course. Sydney grabs his face and makes sure he's looking straight at her. That tie is the worst thing I've ever seen, and I've seen so much bad clothing, Alex, Sydney says. I know. I absolutely love it. I'm getting a dress shirt made from the same fabric, says Alex. Sydney stares at him with dead eyes and squishes his cheeks together. Alex, Sydney says. Sidka, Alex says. I say this with all the love for you in my heart. I will not be seen in public with you wearing that. That doesn't feel like a lot of love. Maybe you should try again. Sydney goes for the tie and gets it and escapes into the dressing room before Alex can react. There are benefits to being able to run in heels. Sid's feet sting as she slips out of the dress, and she's happy to fall into one of the folding chairs and get out of the shoes. She slips into a pair of soft flats she keeps for after runway shows, where she doesn't need to attend the reception, and wraps herself up in a silk changing robe. When she steps out of the room, Alex sweeps her up into a huge hug, spinning her around. It's so nice to be off her feet that she clings to him when he goes to set her down. He notices and puts her down gently, keeping his hands on her waist and holding her up ever so slightly to take the pressure off her feet. He's a blessing, and Sydney leans up to kiss his cheek. She also steals the pocket square and shoves it into her robe pocket with the tie. Now that she can get a proper look at him, he looks tired, and there's a cut under his eye with two black stitches in it. "Ouch," Sid says, smoothing a thumb over the skin under the cut. "Ouch," Alex parrots, lifting Sid up off her feet a little more. "I brought you more of the cream, and the team docs want a look at your feet." Alex makes a face. "I think they like you more than me." "It's because I have all my teeth," Sid says. "And whose fault is it that I don't?" "Mine," Sid says, smugly, and smiles. "Though you could get it fixed at any point." "Only if my girlfriend wants me to," Alex says. "Why on earth do you need a fake girlfriend?" "Because I have a real one," Alex says, and something deep in Sydney dims a little bit. She doesn't want any part of the attention that comes with that role, though, so I need a smokescreen. She's never been good at saying no to Alex. "I'm a very effective smokescreen, then, seeing as people keep thinking we're dating anyway." Sydney takes a step back, out of Alex's arms, and her feet protest at having to carry her full weight again. "We'll give them something to talk about," Alex smiles. "Now come, fly off into the sunset with me on my personal plane." "You don't have a personal plane."
"No, but the team does."
"Alex, I can't fly on the team plane." "I hate you so much," Sydney says, and Alex kisses her cheek.
"I love you too, darling."
She feels a little out of place on the team plane, surrounded by 24 hockey players while wearing a designer dress worth more than all their suits combined. The team plane is nicer than a commercial flight would be, though, and Sydney doesn't have any obligations for a few days, so she's happy to be kidnapped by Alex for the time being. On a commercial flight, Sydney would have a reclining seat and blankets and all the pampering a flight could offer. Here, she has Alex and his team. To say the team is delighted to see Sydney is an understatement. A rookie gets bodily shoved from his seat at the center of the plane to make room for her where the team can crowd around. Nikki quietly works his way to the seat across the aisle from her, and Alex just straight up bullies people around until he drops into the window seat next to her with a tray of snack food. One of the rookies, an extremely tall Russian whose name escapes Sydney, though she remembers his number, leans over the back of the seat in front of her. "How did you meet Alex?" he asks, because apparently this whole fake girlfriend thing involves convincing the team as well. "What events did Alex get invited to that I didn't?"
"You are too ugly to get anyone as pretty as Sid to talk to you. Doesn't matter which events you go to," Alex says,
and the rookie fakes hurt. "I met Alex playing hockey," Sydney says, before Alex and the rookie can get into a wrestling match over the back of the chairs. She has her eye on the cracker and cheese plate Alex has, and she doesn't want it to get destroyed.
"You watch hockey?" someone else asks.
"Sydney plays hockey better than most of you," Alex says, and he looks insufferably proud. "But she models okay, too."
"We were playing a pickup game on a rink in my hometown, and I high-sticked him in the face and knocked his front tooth out. I thought he was going to be angry, but he looked at me like he wanted to hold out his bloody tooth to me and propose."
"That's disgusting," Nikki says.
"Yeah, that's Alex," Sydney says. Alex pulls the plastic lid off the tray and starts carefully assembling a cracker with cheese and apple and some sort of jam. He hands the cracker carefully to Sydney
and she snacks happily. It's easier to eat the food Alex hands her than it is to feed herself sometimes. He takes charge of the little voice in her head that always tells her not to eat, to let herself grow thin and weak with hunger. Sometimes he calls her and stays on the line until she has food and eats everything she can for the night. It's very nice to have him there in person to hand her food and to reassure her silently that it's okay to eat, that she deserves this food. The team gets distracted by the captain asking them all to sit down for the flight, and Alex hands her another cracker.
"The whole team is in love with you now," he grumbles. "I should have bought a plane."
"Don't be ridiculous," Nikki says. "Probably just half the team." "I must be losing my touch," Sydney says, and eats another cracker. She falls asleep with her feet in Alex's lap while he reapplies the cream to her bruises, his hands gentle while he talks shit with the team. Sydney attends the Capitals home game against the Flyers. She sits in the owner's box with the players' partners and gets to wear sneakers and tights. She drinks a beer that Alex sends to her with a note via an intern. The team doc visits her just before the game starts to check her feet, which are fine, though he gives her more bandages and strict orders to stop wearing heels. Sydney has never dismissed a doctor's advice faster in her life. Sydney sits with the owners and the IR players right up against the glass. It's nice to be able to tuck her legs up under herself. No worries about wrinkling her dress. Her tights are thick and her sweater is warm and the rink is chilly, leaving her perfectly comfy. Watching Alex play has always been one of Sydney's favorite things. She spends her days with gorgeous models and wearable art, but there's something about the power and passion of Alex on the ice that is more captivating than anything she's seen on a runway. She wonders how different she would be if hockey had been an attainable goal. Her parents had put so much money into her hockey when she was growing up, and she'd always wanted to pay them back. But hockey hadn't been a viable career for a woman. Modeling had been too profitable, and she couldn't do both with the bruises hockey left behind. She wonders what she'd be like in Alex's position, captain of a hockey team from the age of 25, trying to reinvigorate a sport that was fading from popularity. The pressure would be character-changing. Every word Alex said was analyzed and picked apart, every decision he made criticized by his fans. Sydney knows with absolute certainty that she could have done what Alex did, and maybe done it better, but it would have left its mark on her. She doesn't regret her life choices, but she wonders what she could have achieved if she'd ignored the stress and social pressure tearing her apart, and buckled down and tried to get the NHL to include women, or started her own professional women's league. She might not be a player anymore, but that doesn't mean she doesn't have quite a lot of things to say. Constructive criticism is almost always helpful, especially when the fans and reporters are screaming out slurs and insults whenever Alex can't deliver the miracles they've grown to expect of him. Sid passes along anything useful she notices to the IR players and coaches sitting next to her. Alex sends her a text after the second period to stop giving the coaches advice and to just come down to the locker room personally. Sydney meets Alex's girlfriend at his house after the show, and they all go together to a small private restaurant. Jeanette was a little nervous at first, pressed tight against Alex's side in their private booth. She has a wicked sense of humor, though, and she opens up when Sydney gets her talking about her work as an ER nurse. Alex tells a few hockey horror stories, trying to find some common ground for the conversation, which Sydney counters with modeling stories. Jeanette trumps them all with ER horror stories that have Alex looking queasy and Sydney absolutely delighted. By the time the night is drawing to a close and they've had several rounds of drinks, Jeanette is listening into Sydney's side more than she is into Alex. "You're so fucking pretty," Jeanette complains, her head on Sydney's shoulder. "I saw all those magazines in Alex's house, and I thought he had a celebrity crush on you. But then he tells me that you've been friends for over a decade." "How sweet." Sid smiles, her ears hot. "Do you put tabs on all the photos I'm in? My grandmama does that." Sid sputters and Jeanette laughs, turning her face into the crook of Sydney's neck while Sydney smirks at Alex. "People think you're so serious and sweet," Alex says, waggling a finger at her. "But you are so mean to me." "It must be nice to have someone who knows you well enough to talk shit to you, Alex," Jeanette says. "Your ego needs people around you who aren't starstruck." Sydney adores her, just like she adores anyone Alex loves. Alex has good taste in people. Sydney flies out for a photo shoot in New York the next morning, and she doesn't see Alex again for 3 weeks. She watches all his games, though, and Alex makes sure to talk about her to the media so that no one doubts they're dating. She stays in contact with Jeanette, texting her as much as she texts Alex. Then the Capitals lose 6 games in a row and everything goes to shit. The usual critics are back, screaming for someone else to replace Alex as captain, for someone who could single-handedly force the team to start winning. No one person could force a team to win all on their own. Alex is passionate about the game and passionate about his team, and they aren't going to find someone who can replace that passion anywhere else. Sydney gets a text from Nikki and flies in from Paris for the team practice. She stops by Alex's house to pick up a pair of skates from the garage and heads over to the rink. The skates are old, but Sydney's worn worse shoes in the years since she was fitted for them. She wraps up in layers and straps some knee and elbow guards on, as well as a spare helmet they had lying around. She skates out onto the ice mid-drill and moves in circles, getting used to the feel of the ice. It's pretty good ice, but it's been torn up by their practice. One of the assistant coaches is in charge today, and he's happy to have an extra set of hands to help coach. She's talked to him in the past, most recently during the game she'd watched from the box. Warm hands land on her hips and push her forward gently, setting her in motion. Sydney lets herself be pushed and turns, moving backwards while Alex guides her along. "What are you doing here?" he asks. He is sweaty and smiling, but Sydney can see the strain around his eyes. He passes her a bright red no-contact jersey, which Sydney pulls on. It's lucky she's so tall, or it would fall around her knees. "I thought I would come by for a visit and work out some frustration by yelling at your rookies about their skating," Sydney says. "You haven't skated in a while. Sure you can do better?" "Don't forget who knocked that tooth out." "You high-sticking me has nothing to do with your ability to skate." "I high-sticked you because you used an illegal hit to steal the puck from me, because I was skating circles around you," Sydney tells him. He grins and spins her around, pushing her towards the rookies. "Have fun, sweetheart," he calls after her, and skates off to practice slap shots against Holtby. She works with a few of the offensive players on their skating, running tricky drills that have them tripping over their feet when they try to maintain control of both their balance and the puck. It's a frustrating exercise that Sydney used to run with her father. Body awareness is just as important for athletes as it is for models, and at the NHL level, players can't just rely on their innate talent. Some things have to be taught. She watches the rookie fumble a turn again, his attention switching back and forth between his footing and the puck instead of being evenly split between the two. Sydney gives him a few pointers and has him run it again, and again, and again. His skating gets sloppier with each attempt.
This is stupid, he complains. I can do it just fine. I don't need to look like a model while doing it. Sydney pulls the no-contact jersey over her head and tosses it on the ice. Run it again, she says, and keep control of the puck. He gets halfway through the drill when she collides with him, crouched to lower her center of gravity and knocks him off the puck. He flails at the sudden change in trajectory. Ovi! Sydney shouts, and he whips around. She passes the puck to him in between the feet of two other players to land perfectly on his tape. He makes a gorgeous, wickedly hard shot that steals her breath away and scores. Watch your footwork, or that'll happen during a game, she tells the rookie, and then gets an undignified yelp as Alex scoops her up with a cheer and carries her around the ice in a victory loop while his teammates complain. Best fake girlfriend ever, he says, and kisses her cheek. It feels real. She knows it isn't, but it feels real. Being in a fake relationship with Alex is a lot like being his friend, but without worrying about the press taking photos of him. It takes a pressure off of Sydney that she hadn't realized she was feeling, relaxing a tension in her neck and jaw. She has dinner with Alex and Jeanette frequently. The press seems to think Jeanette is a friend of Sydney's, which helps maintain the ruse. She doesn't have to care about anyone seeing them together, so they finally go out to the DC area restaurants Alex is always telling her about, and it's nice to bring Alex to social events. He likes the excuse to dress up and talk to famous people and feed Sydney oysters, figs, and other little morsels. She eats more than she has in years, and sleeps soundly at night without hunger tearing at her gut. Everything is fine until it's not. Sydney doesn't remember the accident. She recalls wearing a floor-length dress. She recalls the prickly soft feel of velvet when her fingers brushed against it. She recalls the pull of the tape against her skin, where they'd had to tape the dress to her chest to keep her decent. She recalls the chill of the plunging neckline and the bright lights. The next thing she remembers is Alex cradling her head in his huge, gentle hands and saying her name over and over like a prayer. The photos she sees later don't jog any memories, but they look consistent with the stitches in her scalp and her right knee. The photo shoot had been in a historic mansion in Pennsylvania. Sid had spent her free moments catching up on the score of Alex's game against the Penguins and wishing she could be there in person to see him play against Yevgeny Malkin. There had been several large lights brought in to make the dark mansion seem inviting and several more to properly shoot the photographs. Sid had been lying on the floor for a shot with her hair spread out around her when one of the lights had fallen. The damage to her head was minor, and the doctors weren't too worried about the gap in her memory. Her knee was another matter. 6 months of no runway, and nothing that might strain her knee while it heals. Sydney holds Alex's hand in the hospital room and cries. She spends her unexpected vacation with the Capitals. They have a string of home games scheduled, which is good because Sydney is pretty sure Alex would try to bring her with them if they had a road trip. I could still work, Sydney says blearily. She's tucked into the armchair in the corner of Alex's guest room with her legs stretched out awkwardly in front of her, held straight by a brace while Alex tidies the room. Alex reaches behind the bed and pulls up an empty beer bottle. I could do photo shoots. You always twist your knees into weird positions for photos. It would hurt, Alex says, and grumbles something rude in Russian while he puts the beer bottle in the garbage. Jeanette is on her way, and she'll tell you too. There's a soft knock on the guest room door, and Jeanette comes in. Sydney, she says, a world of compassion wrapped up in one word. Sydney tries not to cry again. Oh, that's the meds right there. Just let those tears wash out those neurotransmitters and you'll feel better.
I don't know what that means, Sydney admits. And when Jeanette comes over to hand her a cup of water, Sydney lists sideways into her. Jeanette puts the cup of water on the table and lets Sydney find comfort in the press of her face against Jeanette's shirt. She smiles like cotton and kindness, and she softly strokes Sydney's head. Sydney understands why Alex loves her, this strong, vibrant woman with soft edges. Sydney's chest hurts more than her leg, and she can't hold back a sob that tears itself from her chest. You're okay. Just let it out, Jeanette croons, and covers Sid's ears before talking to Alex. Sydney can't make out words, but her tone isn't as nice anymore. She must be scolding Alex for having not cleaned the guest room up after the party last night. Between the two of them, they get Sydney into bed without jarring her leg. Sydney is infinitely grateful for Alex's strength and Jeanette's experience with manhandling the injured. Alex tucks the sheets around her like a mother hen, a huge Russian hockey-playing mother hen. Laughter bubbles up and replaces her tears. That's the meds, all right, Jeanette says. You'll be just fine, Sydney. Alex will take good care of you. She refuses to let Sydney get up to hug her goodnight, squeezing her hand instead before leaving the room. Alex watches her go, something off and dark in his expression. What's wrong? Sydney asks. The bed feels heavenly, and she's having trouble focusing now. She always reacted strongly to medication. The hospital had given her dosages for a 6-foot-tall woman, but she doesn't eat enough to react to medicine like a normal 6-foot-tall woman. Nothing you need to worry about, Alex promises. Sydney kisses her fingers and presses her fingers against Alex's cheek. His short beard is soft under her fingers. Alex catches her hand and tucks it under her covers, while she huffs out a laugh and kisses her forehead ever so softly. Sleep, Sidka. She falls asleep as he turns off the lights and closes the door gently behind him. Sydney hates being injured. The pain she can handle, but the inactivity is a special torture she's never been good at enduring. Jeanette visits occasionally, but her work hours are odd, and it's like she only works when Alex is home and has time off while he's playing games. The meds make it hard for Sydney to figure out more than that. It's nice when Alex is playing and she and Jeanette watch the game. Jeanette hasn't seen much hockey and doesn't really know the rules, which doesn't surprise Sydney. Jeanette is busy, and watching hockey is probably not how she and Alex want to spend their limited time together. The worst are the times when Jeanette has work and Alex is at practice. It's only a few hours, but it's achingly boring, and Sydney hates inactivity. Alex worries about Sydney being home alone while injured, but when he comes home to find her hobbling around the house, just looking for something to do, he's pissed. Sydney doesn't really care, though, because the next day he brings her with him to practice. It helps to ease her restlessness being at the rink. The first time she goes with him, she doesn't even make it to the ice. Alex leaves her in an extremely comfy chair in the players' lounge, well, he goes to change, and she sleeps until he wakes her up 2 hours later, hair wet from the shower and his bag slung over his shoulder. The second time she makes it to the bench and shit-talks Alex's play the entire time. It's the most fun she's had in ages. Nikki leans against the boards and chats with her, his quiet company a delight. When she arrives with Alex for practice the fourth time in a row, someone has stolen the comfy chair from the player's den and moved it into the penalty box. Nikki and Alex steal her out to the ice and, wrapping her arms around their shoulders, scoop her up between the two of them and skate her carefully over to the box. She spends practice laughing and napping and feels better from those 2 hours than she could have from a whole week at home. the penalty box has never before been such a popular place to be. As she weans off the harder medications, the pain sets in. Sydney has experienced worse, but it's difficult to be sedentary. She's not allowed out on the ice, so she contents herself with hobbling up and down the bench on her crutches and pitching her voice to carry across the ice. Sometimes she shit-talks Alex, to the glee of his teammates, and sometimes she helps coach. She doesn't go easy. "You were the worst," Wilson wheezes after she finishes describing the next drill. Sydney is sitting in her comfy chair in the penalty box. Nikki is sitting next to her and stealing a bit from her plate of snack food. Sydney barely gets her mouth open to reply when Alex crushes Wilson against the boards.
"Sidka is the best,"
Alex says sweetly, and skates off while Wilson curses. Sydney blows Alex a kiss, which he pretends to catch on a stick and shoot into the net. Nikki groans and looks ashamed to have such a ridiculous captain. Sydney laughs so hard she feels sick. Jeanette comes over only when Alex is gone. Once she's off the stronger medication, Sydney realizes they've broken up, and Alex explains what happened over shots of vodka at the kitchen counter. Sydney sips cranberry juice since she can't have alcohol with her meds. They'd broken up the day Sydney had hurt her knee. The time apart was too hard on them. If either one of them had had normal hours, they might have been able to make it work. But they saw each other maybe once a week, and no amount of happiness during that small time together could make up for the time apart. It was an amicable breakup, but Sydney can tell it hurts Alex anyway. They all still text each other, and Jeanette comes by when she can. But there's an awkwardness around them sometimes, like they don't quite know how to fit together anymore. Sydney worries about them, but she also gets to be the person in the middle of the couch now, with her two friends leaning against her from both sides. And that's a very nice place to be. The relationship doesn't last, but the fake one does. Sydney didn't intend to continue the ruse, but the press already thinks they're dating, and it's nice to be openly affectionate with Alex, especially since she has to hobble around now, and winter clothing isn't really designed with crutches in mind. Alex spends as much time laughing at her as he does helping her. It's nice at home, too. Sydney had never lived more than a few months in one place, always moving to keep up with where she was needed. She had always rented an apartment when she moved cities. It's easier to pack an apartment's worth of stuff than a full house, and she liked hearing people walk around in the apartment above her or smelling home cooking when she walked the halls. Alex's house is massive. The ridiculous spiral staircase in the entryway looks like something Sydney would get a back cramp from lounging on during a photo shoot. But everything has a distinctly Alex flair to it. It's nothing like the tiny apartments she was used to. But she feels more quickly at home here than she did whenever she moved. Sydney's current apartment is in San Francisco, though she'd had a friend ship her anything she might need while she heals. Living with Alex is an adventure. It's been years since she lived with friends, but she doesn't recall it going as smoothly as this. Being here gives Sydney a home like she hasn't had in years. It's warm and comfortable even when her knee is wrapped up in a brace and her shoulders hurt from the crutches. She can't remember the last time she thought of home as some place she wants to be, rather than a place to pass out between photo shoots and runways. She knows she could pay for some more luxury in her apartments, but it's not the opulence of Alex's home that makes it feel this way. There's something opulent about Alex himself, and about being around him so often. They develop a routine. Sydney wakes up around 5 a.m. and sleeps in until 6 a.m., before getting in the shower and stealing some of Alex's frankly overkill shampoo and body wash. She smells like Man Cave now, which is a surprisingly pleasant smell. She has some of her normal shampoo tucked in the corner of the shower, but she only needs it after she works and her hair is full of product. It's nice to be able to just focus on feeling good instead of looking good. By 7 a.m., she's dressed and curled up somewhere in the house, watching hockey or talking with her manager and negotiating future work. Being out of commission for a while has boosted her job offers, and they're surprisingly busy. It's tricky to schedule when they aren't sure about her knee, but there are some things she can do even on a bad leg, regardless of what Alex says. She schedules shoots in Milan, New York, and Paris. Nothing more than a few day commitments, though, and her manager negotiates to have her travel fees covered, even though Sydney would gladly pay the money to be back in Alex's house after a shoot rather than a hotel. Alex comes downstairs whenever he wakes up. The irregularity of his schedule makes it hard to make his wake-up time routine, but they always have breakfast together. He grumbles about Sydney not eating before he's up on the days he sleeps late, but Sydney finds she's been eating so much lately that she forgets to eat until she sees Alex. They don't eat the same food for breakfast, but they cook around each other. Alex making a truly mind-boggling amount of eggs, and Sydney tossing ingredients into a blender and making a grass-green smoothie. It tastes worse than grass, but Sydney has it every morning. It's incredibly healthy, and food is easier to choke down when it tastes terrible. The bad taste takes away the guilt. Alex tried the smoothie once and had to spit it out in the sink, swearing in Russian while Sydney laughed. Kickboxing isn't easy on the knees, so Sydney alters her routine. Between her past trainers and the Capitals trainers, she finds a workout schedule that keeps her in roughly the same shape as before her knee injury. Her cardio is lacking, but there's only so much time she can spend swimming before her hair and skin take damage. She spends most of her time at the rink working out once her knee has healed a bit. Sometimes she exercises at the bench and coaches at the same time. The boys tease her about having a stricter workout than they do. Modeling requires just as much work as playing hockey, though the goals for the exercises are different. Sydney enjoys it. Effort put in at the gym results in a visible change in her body, and her self-control has resulted in modeling contracts on par with Alex's NHL contract. It has also allowed her to stay relevant even at 29, when most of her co-workers are just turning 22. It's different working out at the rink instead of her usual gyms. When Alex has early practice, she brings her smoothie with her, resulting in a prank where her smoothie ended up in a rookie's water bottle. He almost starts crying from the taste, and Alex's shoulders shake with silent laughter. Sydney steals her smoothie back and winds up drinking the whole thing while making eye contact with the team the entire time. They treat her with almost reverent respect the rest of the day. Sydney is cleared for working in early December. The roads are treacherous in her crutches, but she manages to get a taxi up to New York for a photo shoot. Her manager greets her with a kiss on both cheeks and talks a mile an hour, updating her on everything she's missed. Sydney hears a click and turns towards the noise, finding her light instinctively. There's a woman standing in the corner, the camera of her phone pointing towards Sydney. She's staring at the screen, looking a little stunned. Sydney smiles and the woman startles, looking up from her phone and blushing crimson. "Sydney Crosby," Sydney says, holding out her hand. The woman fumbles to put away her phone and shakes Sydney's hand. Her grip is firm for all she looks nervous. "This is Angela. She's going to be handling social media for the shoot," Sydney's manager says. "I'll be vetting any photos before they go up, but the magazine wanted to do some hype for the next issue." The shoot is long. Sydney's leg is okay bent for a little bit, but by the third costume change, her knee is aching and she has to keep it straight. She sneaks her brace on under a couple of the dresses with thick tulle skirts, but most of the outfits prohibit its use. The lingerie is especially tricky, with her knee on full display. There's makeup over some of the residual skin discoloration from the injury, and there's no swelling, but Sydney is sure there's going to be a lot of Photoshop used to correct the images. As tricky as the lingerie shots are, Sydney enjoys the mobility the clothing provides. She can curl up or stretch out, and she doesn't have to worry about the clothes. It's helpful that the lingerie this time around is gorgeous instead of so revealing she has to be taped in. She runs her fingers along the side of a sheer long-line bra, the colorful embroidered flowers wrapping around her ribs. The panties are matching, but the garter belt and stockings wrapping around her hip and thighs are silken black. Angela snaps photos from around the set, getting behind-the-scenes shots. She shows Sydney her photos during the five-minute breaks Sydney gets, occasionally to drink some water. Angela has a good eye. Sydney makes a mental note to tell her manager. There are photos of Sydney modeling with the photographer coming in for a close-up. Shots of Sydney looking lovingly at the camera. One shot of Sydney making eye contact with the camera when her dress gets stuck. Tulle sticking up everywhere while three people try to negotiate the dress over Sydney's ass. Sydney likes that one the most, even though her knee brace is visible, and approves it to be posted on the magazine's Instagram. They break for lunch around noon, and Sydney hobbles over to a table off the set. The last outfit was a pair of black trousers and a white silk blouse, so she doesn't need to change before she checks her phone. She has a lot of text messages. Sydney frowns and ignores the bulk of them from past coworkers and opens the one from Alex. Alex.
Looking good, Sidka. Smile, 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 smile.
And because Alex is one of her oldest friends, he sends a screenshot of one of the backstage Instagram photos so she knows what he's talking about. It's one of her in the lingerie. Nikki.
Your boyfriend thinks he's picked up some of your modeling talent.
Then there's a photo of Alex wearing nothing but hockey garters, socks, and his jock, posing on the locker room floor in almost the exact pose Sydney had been in. Sydney laughs so hard she cries and they have to fix her makeup. She slides back into a floor-length coat that's thick with red embroidery and hobbles back onto the set. The angle of her leg is a little awkward. She camouflages it by making her poses a little more extreme. And the final photos turn out stunning. Sydney's hair is down, falling into the coat's collar. Her lips are the same shade of red as the coat, and she should look almost intimidatingly gorgeous. But there's still laughter in her eyes. The photograph goes on the cover of the magazine, and the demand is so high they do a second printing. Later, a photo goes up on Instagram of Sydney laughing during her break. The caption reads, "Supermodel Sydney Crosby reacts to message from boyfriend Alexander Ovechkin, captain of the Capitals." Alex proclaims it to be the best photo of Sydney ever taken. Sydney is inclined to agree. Jeanette.
You look so happy in that photograph.
Sydney.
Alex was being ridiculous.
Jeanette.
I figured. Smiley face.
Jeanette.
Is the relationship still fake?
That's a question that Sydney has avoided thinking about since she was injured. She isn't sure how to respond. Sydney.
Yes.
Jeanette.
Sydney, why? Why continue the ruse?
Sydney.
I don't know.
She knows. Sydney would continue the fake relationship until Alex ends it. When he inevitably finds someone he actually wants to date, someone he's really interested in. It'll hurt when it happens, but for now... Jeanette.
Sydney, how long have you been in love with him? Don't do this to yourself.
Sydney has incredible self-control, but she's never been able to deny herself Alex. She doesn't reply to Jeanette.
Sydney stays up late several nights in a row, her mind going too fast for her to calm down and sleep when she lies down. She oversleeps the day of Alex's last game before Christmas. If she's a little frustrated in herself and only manages to drink half her smoothie in the morning, no one has to know. She spends the day posing on diamonds. It's terribly uncomfortable. Jewelry models have never been very inventive. Still, she gets to spend the day in various lingerie or lack thereof. Doesn't need to worry about the position of her knee. The ropes of gold and diamond that drape down her neck are warm against her skin, but the diamonds in her ears are freezing when they brush against her neck. She must wear millions of dollars of jewelry within 3 hours. It's an odd kind of luxury, and Alex would have absolutely loved it. She could only feel more Russian if she was lying on a bearskin rug and maybe sipping vodka. She comes home to a raucous party of Alexander and all of his teammates. "We won our last game before Christmas, baby!" Alex crows and sweeps her up to kiss her loudly on the cheek. "How did you spend your day?" He looks so cheeky, daring her to possibly have a day better than his. "I spent the day lying naked on a bed of diamonds," Sydney says. "It was surprisingly, extremely uncomfortable." "That doesn't seem surprising at all, really," Alex says, but he looks a little dazed and distracted. A cheer goes up from somewhere in the living room, and, oh no, Sydney can see a game of beer pong being set up. The kids needed somewhere to party, since they can't go home to their families. Apparently, being single after a win sometimes means the captain invites everyone over to get wasted. It seems like a very Alex-ish leadership style. Sydney isn't surprised at all. Sydney doesn't drink, since beer isn't in her diet plan, and she hasn't had enough food to drink anything harder. She changes out of her work clothes into sweats and a t-shirt, and straps her brace on over her pants. The doctors had cleared her for more cardio, but her knee still feels better after wearing her brace. The rookies party hard, but they don't party particularly well. Sydney spends the evening tucked under Alex's arm on the couch and napping while watching a rerun of the game. Alex pokes her awake for his goals and swats away anyone else who tries to do the same. At some point in the third period, Sydney falls asleep, and Alex must not have scored any more goals, because when she wakes up, the house is almost silent, and her watch says it's almost 3 a.m. Sydney groans and pushes herself upright, hands against Alex's chest. She blinks blearily and turns to look at him, ready to wake him up and get him upstairs into bed. They're both roughly 30-year-old people who look after their bodies for a living, so sleeping on the couch overnight really isn't an option. Alex is already awake. He's soft with sleep, like she usually only sees him early in the morning. "Everyone asleep?" Sydney asks quietly, her voice rough. She can't read the look in Alex's eyes. "Yeah," he says, and hauls himself up to standing before offering Sydney a hand. She takes it and gets upright without having to bend her knee. The living room is a mess, but Alex pays to have his house cleaned and tips very well. Sydney makes a mental note to double his tip for the next cleaning. There are hockey players on every couch she can see, and a rookie asleep on the floor. They all look okay, though, and someone has put trash cans by those that look a little rough. Alex hoists Sydney up the stairs
and she's too tired to object to being manhandled when it means she can stay off her knee. They find a hockey player in all four of Alex's guest bedrooms, including Sydney's room. Alex makes a cranky noise when he sees Wilson sleeping fully clothed on top of the comforter. "Leave him," Sydney says, pulling Alex away from the door so he doesn't barge in and roll Wilson off the bed. "Sleep on my bed," Alex says. "I'll go sleep on the couch." He turns to go back downstairs, and Sydney grabs his arm. She might be taller than him when she wears heels, but she's barefoot right now and painfully aware that Alex is letting her stop him. "You have a king-sized bed. There's plenty of room for both of us," Sydney says, ever so quietly. It feels like she's writing her words in pencil, ready to erase them in a moment if something goes wrong. And it makes her a little more bold. "It'll raise questions if we don't." She waits for him to say something, waits for him to admit that they have no reason for continuing the ruse other than that they don't want to. She waits for him to end it. "Team just waiting for you to kick me out of bed. They all think you're too good for me," Alex says, but he helps her down the hallway to his bedroom. Maybe he doesn't want it to be fake either. They're both exhausted, and Alex starts snoring terribly almost as soon as he lies down. Sydney slides her feet under the covers, whisper soft and gentle on her skin. Alex bumps a foot against hers, and she doesn't feel a bit of pain, only the sharp brightness of hope in her chest. She sleeps with a smile on her lips. Sydney wakes up with Alex's forehead tucked between her shoulder blades. His breath stirs the thin fabric of her t-shirt. She turns her neck to look at him, trying not to wake him up, and sees he's managed to sprawl out enough to take up most of the king-sized bed, but has still left her plenty of space. Sydney rather suspects that's more due to her sharp elbows and territorial sleep behavior than to Alex staying naturally on his own side. She also has all the sheets. It's 9 a.m. when she gets out of her shower, but most everyone is still asleep. Alex joins her in the kitchen while she makes her smoothie and surveys the contents of the fridge before deciding to order breakfast. Food for a small army arrives 30 minutes later, and they're still the only ones awake. Alex isn't hungover in the least, and the smile on his face has Sydney wincing preemptively for his teammates. He disappears upstairs and comes back down with a referee's whistle. Sydney crinkles her nose and covers her ears. Alex has the lung capacity of a professional athlete, and it's like the whistle doesn't end. Swears echo through the house, and Alex cackles. "It's a beautiful day to be in the NHL," Alex bellows, and comes into the kitchen to steal the best food before his teammates get there. Having breakfast with hungover hockey players is an experience, and Sydney almost wishes she had a social media account of some sort. They keep glancing at her smoothie and turning green. Alex has everyone out the door by noon, so they have time to go home and get dressed and sober for the family skate. Sydney has seen some really ugly holiday sweaters at past Capitals family skates, usually photos from Alex, but she's never been to one herself. She can't bring herself to wear a holiday sweater, but she does sit on the edge of her bed and struggle into a pair of tights, swearing when her knee sparks in protest. Alex pokes his head into her room while she's trying to get her brace on properly. He's wearing a long Russian coat that makes him almost look like a model himself, and a hideous bright scarf that ruins the look entirely. Sydney adores him. "How's your knee?" he asks. Sydney waves her brace at him. "It'll be fine. I'm allowed to skate for a bit as long as I wear the brace and go easy." Alex takes the brace from her and kneels in front of her, strapping her brace on with huge, gentle hands. Let's get you back on the ice, Alex says, and he looks almost as excited for it as she is. The family skate is cute enough to make Sydney's chest hurt. There are toddlers wearing tiny skates, stepping onto the ice for their first time, and older kids playing clumsy hockey. Sydney watches a girl in all pink pads body slam a boy twice her height and knock him over. The parents rush in worriedly, but Sydney subtly high-fives the girl later. And when the kid smiles at her, she's missing one of her front teeth, just like Alex. Sydney gets a photo of Alex holding the girl, looking at each other with identical grins. Models don't get a lot of time with children. Sydney volunteers whenever she can, but it's been so long since she could play around with kids, and the time passes far too quickly. Her knee starts to ache far before she's ready to step off the ice, so she stops out on the rink to catch her breath. "You're both so good with kids," someone says, and Sydney turns to see a woman skate up next to her. Her eyes are on Alex, who's pulling a pile of kids around on a sled. He glances up at Sydney and waves when he sees she's watching. He can probably hear their conversation across the ice. "You two are just the cutest thing. What a perfect couple." A kid calls for his mom and the woman skates away. "It would be nice if it was real," Sydney whispers. Alex skates over. Slow turn. And the kids fall off the sled, giggling wildly. Sydney laughs softly, and Alex skates over, a huge smile on his face. He slides to a smooth stop just next to her. "Perfect couple," Alex says, puffed up with pride. "I don't know. You'd be in it, so it wouldn't be perfect," Sydney chirps, because that's so much easier than letting out the words building up on her tongue. "Would be best couple," Alex argues. "You're pretty, I'm gorgeous. We have pretty Russian babies. Ah, well." He leans over and kisses her cheek. "Let's go get something to eat, Sidka," he says, and skates off towards the bench. Sydney stares at his broad back, and she can't think, can't risk thinking. She skates after him, leaning into it so her thighs burn and her knee aches. "Alex," she calls, catching up with him before he steps off the ice. He turns to look at her, and she boards him straight into the glass. He shouts, but he seems more surprised to have his arms full of Sydney than hurt. Sydney grabs at the lapels of his fancy Russian coat and pulls herself up to the tips of her skates and kisses him. She pulls back and looks up at him. "It's not fake for me, Alex. It's real. It's real for me." Her nerves are making her ears ring, but Alex has this look on his face that she's seen a million times before. It's how he looks at her after she scores on the ice or plays rough or the time she came home with a modeling contract worth more than his NHL contract. He looks at her with adoration, and Sydney feels like she's flying. Arms wrap around her and lift her straight off the ice, and Alex kisses her like he plays hockey, confident and bold and utterly focused. Sydney wraps her arms around his neck and kisses back. Someone catcalls them, and Alex's grip on Sydney shifts, and she's pretty sure he's flipping his teammate off. "Not in front of the children," Sydney says breathlessly between kisses, and starts laughing as Alex skates away from his teammates, carrying her for a victory lap around the rink. "It's real for me too, Sidka," he says. "Will you do me big favor and be my real girlfriend?" "Do you have any of that bruise cream?" Sydney asks, and Alex throws his head back and laughs. Sydney pulls him in for another kiss, and they're both smiling too hard to kiss properly. And it's perfect. The end. Fresh off the runway, 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 fresh off the runway
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!